rivers and SAFTA. At the time, it was also recognized that SAFTA was still not voting members on council. And in April 18, council formed the Transitional Committee to support inclusive decision-making, equal representation by SAFTA and South African cane growers as the grower section. I'm pleased to say that recently Ms. Lee Schlube was elected as the second deputy chairperson of that transitional committee. In May 18, SAFTA appealed that the DTI hold off from signing the draft regulations on the basis that SAFTA wanted to review the levy sharing mechanism with industry stakeholders. In July 18, the industry the industry leadership had meetings during June and July and agreed to a mediation process between South African Cane Growers Association, SAFTA, SASA, and SASMA on levy sharing mechanisms. Charles Newfin was appointed as facilitator to attempt to find a long-term solution to the levy matter. In August 18, the mediation results in no agreement being reached. SASA advised DTI that the negotiations had been unsuccessful. DG of Togo confirmed his instructions to restart negotiations for a long-term sustainable solution, including transformation and growth of the industry and transitional arrangements for grower representation on all structures equally by South African cane growers and SAFTA. In September 18, the meeting with the DG, together with his team, coming down to Durban, confirming his instructions to South African cane growers, SAFTA, and SASMA. In September 18, SASMA drafted the new amendments as instructed by the DTI, and Charles Newfin provided the DTI with the terms of reference for a long-term solution. The Transitional Committee and delegates of SASA could not approve the proposed DTI amendments, and each section informed the DTI separately of their reasons. In October 18, the transitional provisions as determined was promulgated under the Government Gazette number 41967 yesterday, as you alluded to, Honourable Chair. As of yesterday, I have started the process of setting up the sequence of meetings that will be required to give effect to the aforementioned Gazette, such that we will be compliant in the shortest possible time. With the gazetting of the transitional arrangements, I think it brings about some sort of stability and gives SASA the opportunity to focus on the long-term growth and development of a sustainable sugar industry and strategy. Honourable Chair, with that, can I hand over to Hans Hackman, the Vice Chair, to talk us through SASA's position on the sugar tariff?
Right. You go ahead.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and good afternoon to the Honourable members of the committee. Up front, I'd just like to say thank you for your continued interest and support of the sustainability of the sugar industry or matters that affect it. We are obviously very appreciative with the pressure that the Portfolio Committee has placed upon the process to arrive at an urgent review of our sugar tariff. And yes, I'd like to take you through what our view is of what the outcome is and what it is going to do to our industry. So there is some good news, but there's also some disappointment from our point of view. The first slide on the screen really takes you through our industry, what it looks like, where it is located, You will see that there are 22,500 sugarcane farmers in our industry, of which 21,000 of them are the small-scale black farmers. We have an area under cane of about 365,000 hectares, 14 sugar mills, direct employment of 85,000 jobs, indirect employment 350, and our contribution to our country's GDP is about $16 billion per annum. We are hoping this year, in our financial year, to produce approximately 2.15 million tons of sugar. And of that 2.15 million tons, we hope to sell approximately 1.5 million tons in the domestic market. Our domestic market is the SACU market, so it's South Africa, Botswana, Lesotho, Swaziland, and Namibia. And the import tariff obviously enables us to protect that domestic market, which is the SACU market, and for us to sell as much as we can in that marketplace. The next slide is really, I think, a broad acceptance from ITAC as well as all stakeholders that there is a need for protection of our industry. It is a strategic agro-processing industry in our country. It provides a lot of jobs, especially in deep rural communities and areas of KwaZulu-Natal as well as in Mpumalanga. And we all know that the world sugar market is highly distorted. Basically, the world price is a dump price, and it has very little relation to the cost of producing sugar. You will also find that in most sugar industries, or the vast majority of them throughout the world, there is extensive government support and subsidies which prop up the viability and the sustainability of these industries to protect them from this world dump price. And these come in the form of direct supports like a sugar tariff, export schemes, or diversification dispensations to convert sugarcane into ethanol, for example. All sugar producing countries basically protect their local industries, therefore, and as an example, in one of our neighboring countries, Mozambique has a dollar-based reference price of $932 for refined sugar, and we also know that there are other mechanisms for protecting the domestic markets of these other African sugar industries by very, very strict measures like import licenses. So there's effectively no imports allowed into a lot of those countries that produce sugar further up north in Africa. So I think this is generally accepted that there is a need for protection on a global sugar industry market. And if we focus to ourselves here and what we have requested ITAC to review our tariff, on the slide that I've put up at the moment, we asked for a dollar-based reference price of $856, and we took into account the cost of South African sugar production. We factored in a very small return on investment, or a reasonable return on investment. We added some policy costs, the cost of exporting our surplus production, and this might need some explanation. So the South African sugar industry produces more sugar than is required for the consumption in the SACU market, or our share of that market. So the surplus has to be removed at the world market price. And there is a cost to our industry of that because we make a huge loss on those exports. Okay. And then the last thing is that we also took into account ITAC's recent inclusion of the RIA adjustment to the rand-dollar exchange rate. And I'll explain to you what the RIA is. The RIA stands for the real effective exchange rate, and it's really a mechanism that seeks to remove the volatility of the rand, or the valuation of the rand, against the basket of South Africans' trading partners. Okay. The unfortunate part for us is that it discounts the rand-dollar exchange rate, and it tries to bring it back to a level of about 1260. For example, today we're at 14 1450 or 1460, it tries to bring it back to a reasonable level of 1260. It's applied by ATAC to all duties that are based on the dollar-based reference price mechanism, so it applies for maize, for wheat, and for sugar. It was introduced about 2 years ago, and the first time we saw it was when ITAC reconfirmed that our previous dollar-based reference price of 566 they were comfortable with, but they then introduced the real component, which basically discounted our import duty that we calculated from that. So ITAC, on this graph, you can see we were granted, or the review, their ruling resulted in them coming to conclusion that instead of giving us 856, they should give us 680, and they based that 680 on a six-year average over the last 6 years of a distorted world price. They applied a distortion factor to that to lift it up to 680, and that distortion factor really was the difference between the cost of production and the most cost-effective producer in the world, Brazil, to bring it up to the level of our South African production. And then they put the import duty formula in place, and they continued to apply the rear on the import duty formula, which basically discounts the import duty. The next slide will show you, it's got a couple of numbers on it, and it's a bit busy, but this is an absolute crucial slide for us to understand how the sugar duty is calculated from this dollar-based reference price that we are given. I'm going to start on the right-hand side, and what we asked for was a dollar-based reference price of 856, and if you take today or yesterday's world price of sugar at $345 per ton, the way the import duty works is you take 856 and you minus 345 and you're left with $511 per ton. You then apply the exchange rate, which is 14.7 rand to the dollar, and the rear factor, we knew that we needed to take that in account, so you multiply your result then by the 0.8571 at 1470 compared to 12.6, there's a discount of approximately 15%, and your calculated duty then on our basis, what we asked for, comes to 6,439 rand per ton. So any imports of sugar coming into South Africa on what we had asked for would attract an import duty of 6,439 rand. We were also told that we had to be very aware of the WTO bound rate, which is effectively 105% of the world price converted to rand. And if you do that calculation on the right-hand side, that comes out at 5,325 rand. And the applicable duty that we would then get would be the lesser of the 5,325 or the 6,439. So in this case, on the right-hand side, what we asked for, we understood that we would only get 5,325. When we go to the left-hand side, the ITAC ruling came out with the $680 per ton reference price, and if you do the same calculation, you arrive at a calculated duty of 4,221 rand per ton, the calculated duty from that import duty formula. So that is less than the WTO bound rate of 5,325, and the applicable duty, therefore, if we calculated the duty today, would be 4,221 rand. The column that I've provided you in the middle removes this discount factor or this rear adjustment that we that ITAC has chosen to apply. And if you remove that, the calculated duty goes to 4,925. And the difference between 4,925 and 4,221 rand is a difference of 704 rand per ton, which is effectively a discount that the importers of sugar in South Africa get by the application of this rear adjustment factor. If you take that 704 and you multiply it by the tonnage of sugar that we can sell in the domestic market, it comes to a huge amount of money which we are leaving on the table from a pricing point of view, which amounts to about 1.1 billion rand. Okay? So this is the element that we were quite uncomfortable with, and we were very surprised that when we were alerted to the fact that the outcome of the review was a result of a $680-based reference price, but an insistence that they still had to apply this adjustment factor to our exchange rate. Okay. So the industry position on the outcome of the sugar tariff review by ITAC, I think in broad sense, the objective of providing sustainable support to the local industry has not really been achieved. The new import duty was obviously hugely welcome on a short-term basis. It basically wiped out some of the losses that we were making in the short term. But if we look at this formula over the next 3 years and see where it takes us, we're still not out of the woods. So we think that it's going to result, if we don't do anything about it, it could result in a shrinkage of the industry. That is most likely. And the sustainability of the sugar industry remains in the balance. We believe that there is an urgent need to review the basis on which protection from world sugar imports is afforded to the local industry. And we've summarized this in a very short-term basis on the next slide. We've said in the next 12 months, what can we expect to happen? Definitely there's going to be a huge measure of relief to some of the loss-making operations for some farmers and millers as a result of this new import duty. The majority of sugarcane farmers and millers will remain under significant financial pressure. I've actually done some extensive work on this from an industry average point of view, and I believe that before we got the 680, the operating margin of the sugar industry was approximately minus 20%. Okay? I think what the 680 has done, it's taken us very close to the break-even point. And if you look at some millers and some growers, probably some of them are making a small profit, but the majority of them are at break-even or slightly below break-even with the 680 that we've been given. So there is no incentive for farmers or for mills to invest in anything. I don't think that, and probably Mr. Mazala will confirm that later, that there is money for investing in replanting your crop or spending some money on some of your very important input costs. I think all of the 14 mills are likely to remain underutilized. So capacity exceeds the amount of cane that is available to be crushed. I think at this point in time we're crushing at about a 75% of capacity. So there's going to be no growth really. If you look forward in 3 years' time, there's a big likelihood that the area under cane will reduce by 40,000 hectares as some of the marginal farmers are unlikely to survive as the 680 remains in place. The $680 remains in place for the next 3 years with this rear component basically giving you a stagnant import duty for the next 3 years. I think that's probably around 5,000 of the most marginal black small-scale farmers are likely to exit the industry. I think the impact on the milling side is that there will be obviously a reduction in the production by about 240,000 tons, and this is the equivalent probably of 1.5 mills. So I've said it's likely 1 or 2 sugar mills could close down, and if you take that into account, the impact on jobs and employment, we could see 9,500 direct jobs and 39,000 indirect jobs being lost to our industry. The next slide kind of substantiates our analysis of the impact of this, and this is some work that we had done by an independent house called the Bureau for Food and Agricultural Policy, BFAP, I think a lot of government departments get BFAT to do work for them and to analyze things. And we did this work at a time when we were very unhappy with the introduction of the sugar tax. And on the left-hand side, there's a graph. The one that is appropriate in this time is the yellow part of the graph. On the left-hand side, it looks at what the area under cane in the industry is likely to look like with a dollar-based reference price of $6.50. But in this case, the rear component was not introduced at this stage. So it was just multiplied by the exchange rate. Okay? And you can see that there's a little bit of a recovery at $6.50, and then the area under cane dwindles as farmers are unable to survive with the increasing costs of production costs and a little bit of and lesser return from the marketplace because of the import duty not protecting the local market sufficiently. On the right-hand side is a graph which illustrates what the position would have been like if we'd been given a reference price, a dollar-based reference price of $800 a ton. And you can see a thriving industry there. That yellow graph picks up and you can see the industry growing. And in association with that, you would obviously see more jobs and more farmers on the land and the industry being a growing and sustainable industry. Now, this work was done at a time when we analyzed the impact of the sugar tax on our industry. And the impact of the sugar tax on our industry was that effectively 200,000 tons of our sales in the domestic market were wiped out because the downstream users were looking for alternatives to using sugar. They also reformulated their manufacturing process so that they would use less sugar. So we've effectively lost between 150 to 200,000 tons as a result of the implementation of the sugar tax, and that's now water under the bridge. We've accepted that, and we're moving forward. Okay. I think there are some other risks that we face. We are aware that there is discussion taking place in the SACU member states chamber. I don't know what they officially call them, but there is a demand from Botswana, Namibia, and Lesotho for some free access to world market sugar. They no longer want the duty to apply to them, and they want to be free to import their sugar requirements in Botswana, Namibia, and Lesotho from the world market. And that's a huge concern to us. We are engaged with the DTI on this at the moment, as recently as yesterday, and we're trying to find a way around accommodating, keeping the SACU agreement intact, but it is a risk that we could possibly lose some further domestic sugar tonnage for our industry. The sugar industry also, you know, through the whole review process, there were a lot of meetings with ITAC. We did our formal motivation for the 856 to ITAC. I think we stood in a queue. There were a whole lot of other downstream users before us that had to have their say, which is the public process. And the industry definitely, we appreciate the difficult balancing act that ITAC has to undertake when it reviews tariffs. In our case, it has to make decisions that protect the sugar industry, and at the same time, they also have to make sure that the downstream users and the consumer don't get shortchanged by whatever they give us or whatever protection they give us. I'm of the firm belief that, you know, there were a lot of arguments put up by the downstream users that our industry is globally uncompetitive, and I definitely don't agree with that at all. And I think under normal weather conditions, our South African industry ranks in the top 15 of the lowest cost producers out of 135 sugar industries in the world. Yes, we've slipped out of the top 15 over the last few years, and that's as a result of the fact that we've had a lot of droughts, which means that our cane supply came down and we couldn't fill up our factories, which automatically escalates your cost of production. But once we return to normal weather patterns, I think that we will definitely move up that scale and back into the top 15 of the lowest cost producers. This is analyzed on an annual basis by the authority in the world. It's called LMC International, and they do an annual study on the competitiveness of all sugar industries in the world. So that information is to hand. We follow it very closely, and we purchase that information on an annual basis. The last point, obviously, the industry is a significant socio-economic contributor to our economy. My last slide, Honourable Chairperson, is, you know, there has been some good news. We've definitely welcomed the urgency with which ITAC reviewed our duty. The 680 definitely knocked out some of the losses that we've been making. But as I said, it's taking us to break even. And if you take it forward in the next 3 years, we don't see it really protecting us sufficiently due to the way that it's been implemented through the import duty calculation. So the current protection methodology may be flawed. You know, this ITAC's approach to getting to the 680 based on historic distorted world sugar pricing for me is the first question mark. They then apply a subjective distortion factor to get it up to 680. It's almost reverse engineering it to 680.
Just explain what you mean, because what you're saying, everything you've said so far is very, very critical. Explain what you mean about a serious distortion factor. I think we are getting the gist, but this is a serious point.
Yes, thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I think the distortion factor, if you look at the world price and you take an average of it over the last 6 years, you'll probably get to something like $500 or $450 per tonne. To get it up to, if you get it up to cost of production, say, because the world market is a distorted price, you've got to have a methodology to get it back up to that cost of production. And what ITAC has done is they've taken that six-year average and then they've applied a distortion factor. Safisa, what was the distortion factor? 40%. 40% of that average to get it up to 680. Okay?
Yeah, but just go back again. You've made, you know, we want to understand. We have to understand to help. You said there's a world market distortion price.
Yes.
That's already distorted. What is distorted? I remember you're talking about to people who are legislators, representatives, but we're not experts in this industry.
Okay, so the world market price is distorted if you go back to the second slide for the simple reason that most producers in the world have a lot of protection from their governments. For example, export subsidies. So they start making more sugar, and instead of when they're not able to make the, sell that sugar in their own domestic markets, they just dump it on the world market. The biggest culprit is Brazil. Brazil is by far the biggest producer in the world, and they are the culprits that dump the sugar on the market. Okay. Has that explained it sufficiently?
Very clear.
Okay, good. I think that we've had some very constructive engagements with ITAC, so it's not quite as negative as we think. Our team at SASA has engaged with the ITAC officials on all of these matters in a very constructive way. But we have also been told by ITAC that you know, they believe the RIA is the appropriate thing to apply in the import duty formula, And if we are uncomfortable, you know, there's no ways that they can really undo their ruling. And that we would have to follow a process and probably make another application in a year's time if we have any additional information that we want to bring to the party. So that's the position that we're in. And I think that that is a very high level and a brief explanation of what the industry's feeling and position is on the ruling that ITAC came to. Definitely good short-term relief to knock out some of our losses that we've been making. But certainly going forward in the next 3 years, the 680 and the application of the import duty formula with this rear component that's been put in, it's not going to get us out of the woods. And I've suggested this on my own personal view, you know, it would be great if they could just remove the rear from the import duty formula for the next 3 years. I believe that that would help us to survive over the 3 years, give us some time to look at maybe a different mechanism which is more sustainable into the future. And then if the imports continue to land on our shores, you know, maybe explore together with ITAC other protection measures that are applicable to dumped imports. So, Honourable Chairperson, that's my contribution today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hackman. Thank you. Do you want to just add anything at this point, Chairperson?
Nothing to add, Chair.
Look, we've got this first input here. And for some of us, we've been listening for some time. And I think this is the opportunity so that when we move forward into the next presentation, we have a very clear or clearer understanding of what it is that indeed I personally was very excited about that we'd got this tariff. What are we actually talking about? We hear the concern that the rear, perhaps if that was removed, you know, possibly that would, you would bring about a better balance, etc., etc. Let's just engage on this particular section. Let's not go yet into the transformation, which we are going into, but purely on the technicalities. Now, I saw your hand so often, Honourable Buyani, and then I saw Honourable McPherson's, Honourable Mantash, Honourable Williams.
Chairperson, thanks, man. I'm not sure, but I'm having a proposal to say if we, yeah, if we can have both presentation because they are talking to each other, so that when we engage or discuss, we discuss broader on both presentation. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable McPherson.
Thanks for this. I want to choose my words carefully because I don't want to seem like I am putting words in your mouth. But I think that you are too kind in what you've said today, because quite frankly, I think this is a disaster for your industry. And I think you sort of stepped around and said, yeah, it could be better, it could be worse, but it is what it is. And it reminds me of someone who once said to me that, you know, it's like someone who's been in a terrible car accident and they lost both of their arms, but they're lucky that they're grateful that they still have their legs. The fact that they lost their arms is a disaster for them and changes the way in which they live for the rest of their life, but they choose to somehow see the good in that. And I think that that's what you're doing today. I think you're trying to find the good in a catastrophic situation for your industry. And I just want to understand your understanding of the application or reapplication process. Because as I understand it, you can only make another application in 3 years' time for the review of the tariff, not a year's time. I don't know if that is indeed correct. Because if it is, I think that you're going to suffer far worse consequences than what you've said here today. And I also want to understand the application process. and the interaction between ITAC and yourself. Do you feel that they fully understood the application, the nuances, the intricacies that you were putting before them? Or do you think it was very much a sort of glossed over process? I'd also like to understand, how long were your engagements, your oral engagements with them? Did you have a couple of hours with them when you went through the application, or was it a couple of minutes? And if so, how long was it? I've heard some things that have concerned me about the report that ITAC issued into their ruling. They have said that some things were done, and I've also heard contradictory statements from stakeholders, in fact, that those engagements never took place, or those issues were never considered. So if that is the case, and if that has happened, well, then there is an opportunity for you to have that reviewed sooner, and that is through a judicial review application, if in fact ITAC has not followed their own processes to do so. So I would just like to get your thoughts and comments on that. Thank you.
Although in many ways one is talking a little bit speculatory on that issue, and I say that in a very sober manner. Honourable Montash.
Thank you, Chairperson. As we appreciating the presentation, I just want clarity, just for me to understand this year. You said you were praying for the removal of the year over 3 years. Explain that to me. How would it assist you? At which point would it put you? And if I would agree to allow the country to remove the duties, import duties, at which level would we allow them to be? So that we can protect our industry. I don't want to be Donald Trump anyway, but I think at some point we need to protect our industry and ensure that we don't lose jobs at the rate that we are going to lose now, at the rate that the businesses eat. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Montash. Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chair. I think that we should be like Donald Trump and protect our industries. I just want to know from SASA, if you say that it's going to be a year before you can reapply to have this tariff increased, don't you think that you should just wait that year and then in a year's time, you know, reapply and see if you can get it increased instead of, I'm not saying you shouldn't come to this committee, but we've seen you more than we've seen lots of sectors. So I just want to know why you wouldn't just wait for the year. If this was, you know, you said it was a short-term benefit and that could be that year and then you could show that there's a big problem in the future. Why did you feel that you had to, you know, why didn't you just wait for the year? Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Williams. Honourable Kachalia.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I'm keen to understand. I understand that various producers are flouting the rules by hook or by crook and are engaging in dumping. It's my belief that we ought to be aiming across the board, and this industry is no exception, to adhere to WTO rules. It's what we have ascribed to. We are signatories thereof, and we need to ensure that we adhere to those as best as we can. There are people who subvert these rules, WTO rules, and they need to be held to account at that level. And we need to champion this. I'm keen to understand how you might suggest that we, while we are mindful of and I don't want to use the word protecting, as my colleague Honorable Williams has, because I don't necessarily believe in protectionism. I believe that that's the road to nowhere. We need to build a competitive, strong industry that stands on its own and that is able to stand locally and internationally, but we need to make sure that it does so without unfair assistance or unfair competition. So I want to understand how you think we can handle this in the future on the world stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kacharya. Yes. I didn't see another hand at this particular point, but what I'm looking at here, you know, a couple of figures were banded about here. One of them in particular, oh, did someone else have their hand up? Oh, Honorable Kadevi, no, you see, perhaps I didn't see it. I apologize.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think, first of all, we have to appreciate the presentation, that it gave us the cold facts of what is happening. And then, but what I would have appreciated was the suggestion of Honorable Mbuyane that let us also have SAFTA giving its presentation, because a lot of things are interlinked. As you rightfully said here, we spoke about transformation at the beginning. Let's get that side also, so that when we engage, we're able to cross-reference here. Thank you.
I do agree with the principle of that, but the challenge we face is there are some issues that are technical, that no matter who you are, if you don't understand them, and I, for one, don't understand two of the things here, and that... And I've often found that, you know, if you don't understand that concrete is concrete and you think it's wood, you may take the wrong decision. So my only issue, you know, when it talks about, yes, the key industry things, the direct jobs, the blah and the blah and the blah, of course this isn't numbered. And Mr. Medema, whenever you write to people, tell them the chair wants every slide numbered. It's very difficult for us. Waste time. And then you talk about jobs, this, that, and that sounds great. But then it says the area under Kane. That's also good. But when we think of the area under Kane, given the situation we are currently in, of course, members of the committee are going to want to know how many are the black farmers, how many are the white. Obviously, for whatever the reason. And we don't get that information here. And I know for a fact you've got the information, broadly speaking, in round figures. So that would have enabled us to move on from there. Then on the other issue, which you already explained a little bit, the real effect of price and what was happening here and what was happening here in the world price, we will be seeking the assistance of a DTI or ITED to get a better understanding of what is going on here. Why do they use the real effective exchange rate? Do you follow? That's another technical question. I don't need a transformation response there. I need to know the facts. And I think if anyone is here from ITED who can explain why that is the case, we need that. We need a technical, not a policy response. Then on the other hand here, and the sugar review and so on and so forth, there was a reference to a short term and a long term, etc. I don't want to go into that until I hear the next presentation per se. But I do hear one thing, which we have stated in this committee very clearly. While we are mindful of three things, the lack of transformation, the imperative of the tariffs being addressed, yes, we've said that. But thirdly, that this is one of the pieces of legislation that is definitely the shelf life is over. And these have been things that have guided us all along the journey. Then, at the same time, what we have said in the same committee, and I think it was something S229 on that side there, rather challenging venue. We raised the issue of, yes, sugar, sugar, sugar. And Sasa pointed out, you know, with the Minister of Health now, you know, and of course we all want a healthy population, and you know, we now got to pay this and pay that if people can't use all this sugar. Fully agreed. But it does have a negative impact per se on the in a sale of sugar. But I then took the liberty on a Sunday ringing someone very senior in DTI and saying, oh, I've just seen this milk bottle here. It's made in Brazil. It's plastic and recyclable from a sugar compound. And I sent it to many, and I thought, why the hell didn't we think of that? Why didn't we? We have a research laboratory, and we can never, ever sit down. The day I sit down, I'll be overtaken by a robot. So I have to, you know, keep on the move, as it were. So do you. You need to think out of the box. You know what? We've been told all over sugar's not that good for you. Okay, let's face that reality. What else can we do with sugar? 7 years ago in this very room, Honorable Khadebe, the whip, you were the whip at that time, and we heard about what Brazil was doing. Do you remember? And we were not even talking of sugar, by the way. We were talking of employment, how to create employment. And we heard they were creating all these jobs through the sugar cane industry, you will recall. In fact, we couldn't believe the numbers. But of course, they weren't doing it to sell sugar as sugar, but they were doing it to sell, you know, like ethanol and the this and the that and the next thing. So what we have said to you, and you all know this, you need to also begin to find another use for the sugarcane industry. You cannot simply say, by the way, I don't eat sugar. I've never eaten it since when I was 16. So the issue, and I'm sure there are many others like me. Now, the thing is this. You need to get beyond this. Yes, there's a tariff issue. Yes, we know. But let's not capitulate to that. And we are going to tackle the tariffs. We are. But the other issue, which we will come on to, but we wanted the facts first. And I seldom stand against the whip when his advice he gives me is always better than mine, own advice. But on this occasion, Honorable Whip, I thought it advisable that we get the facts first and then get the rest. And I hope that's understandable. Thank you. So can we get, I don't need any policy responses now, I need the facts. And I will be asking anyone who knows anything about ITEC, ITED or what to respond on the other issue. Thank you. With respect to saying should we not have waited a year, I leave that up to you. That was a question.
Okay. I'll deal with Honourable McPherson's questions first. The question of whether we can apply in 3 years' time or in 1 year's time. I stand to be corrected, Trix and Safisa. I think the feedback that we've had from ITEC is that if there's anything new that we want to bring to motivate our sugar tariff, then we can bring it in a year's time. Is that a correct interpretation?
The ITEC report says that they will do a review in 3 years' time, but you are allowed to make an application in 1 year's time.
That's good news, but do proceed.
Thank you. Honourable McPherson also wanted to understand some detail about the application process and whether we felt that ITEC understood us and how long those engagements were with ITEC, and suggested that there was an alternative, maybe a judicial review application. I think from the engagement that we had, my view is that there was significant engagement. I think the Minister Davies and Minister Patel actually initiated a ministerial task team where there were members from our industry sitting together with members from the downstream users to understand all the implications. I was not part of those. Again, Sifiso, you were part of those, and maybe you could give us a view of whether you think that they did hear us and understand us at those engagements.
Do you want Mr. Sifiso, is that it? What is the actual name? Obviously that's Mr. Mislaba. Yes, have you got a mic?
I do.
You do, good.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I did sit on the ministerial task team where we had representatives from across the industry as well as downstream users. And we did have various engagements, and also DTI and EDD sat on that task team. And it was quite unique in that in all the previous applications, there wasn't such a task team. So from the level of engagement, I think there was a lot of engagement compared to previous times. We were allowed that. And also, if I may add, the ITEC team did come to the sugar industry to do a verification where we spent half the day with them to take them through the numbers that we had. Thanks, Honourable Chair.
Where you are.
Thank you for that. And then Honourable Montash spoke about the RIA and what the removal of it would do for us. I think if we removed the RIA out of the import duty calculation, it would effectively increase the import duty by another 700 Rand per tonne based on today's exchange rate. Okay, so that would definitely help us. I think if you put that forward into the next 3 years, that, I believe, would maintain and sustain the current size of the industry together with the jobs and the farmers. I think that's what the result would be by removing that RIA component. Okay, does that answer the question significantly? Okay. Referring to Honourable Williams's question, I think we've kind of dealt with this already. If it's going to be a year, should we not just wait another year? That's definitely an option. I think that our industry would probably want to go into the economic methodology around establishing a more sustainable import duty, and that will probably take some time. And it's absolutely right. I think that the 680 and the way it's been given to us does kind of reduce our losses significantly and keeps us sustainable for the next 12 months. So that's definitely an option that we could think about. Honourable Kachalia asked us a question about how in future we would adhere to the WTO rules.
Yeah.
How do we give credence to this? We certainly don't want to be seen as a propped-up industry or one that is uncompetitive. I think that, you know, we have made the point many times during our engagements with ITEC, who are very, very strong on the WTO-bound rate. And when we asked for our 856, they said to us, well, that would take you way above the 105% WTO bound rate. And we understood that. But that was based on a very low world price. The WTO bound rate is calculated on the world price, not on the dollar-based reference price. The world price is currently very low. When that world price goes from what it is today, $345 a ton, if it goes to more normal levels, probably around $420 to $450, we will be way below the 105% WTO bound rate. We also as an industry understand that the best or the highest import duty that we can be given is the calculated duty from the formula, or if the WTO bound rate spits out a lower number, then we have to live with the lower number. But the question that I have to ask, and I don't know if it's been asked before, do the WTO bound rates apply to dumped products coming into your market? Okay. So that's the big question that we have to ask. I don't know if that answers your question, sir. I think those were all the technical questions, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you.
All right. At this point in time, I'll just check with staff. I will come to you in a minute, Honourable Viani. If the T, not what was there at 1, but what is there now, is hot and available. Can you find out and check? Right. Honourable Viani.
Check, thanks. Maybe for the sake of interest, in terms of the WTO, I think it's prohibited to dump. Yeah, so let me just verify with the presenter as to say what are the measures in the process to move and engage with the DTI in terms of the engagement, or the ITEC, what are the resolutions in terms of the dumping, because really dumping is prohibited. Yeah, and also check if in terms of the start, the report now says in the clarity that was given here is around the 680 projection. What if the other base was only 856, that you will have a different outcome in terms of the projection in the economic of the industry? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Buyani. I'm just going to check with Miss Elizabeth Van Rienen, who's the Chief Director, to just answer the technical issue here, because I know we have fought dumping cases in the WTO. Could you just clarify that? Don't I? Oh, Honourable Mantash, is this also on this issue?
I just want to make an addition to what you're asking from the department. Whether removing the rear is a big problem.
Yeah, I think the challenge we're facing here is that doesn't fall under DTI, it falls under ITEC. This is part of the challenges in, no, it doesn't, you see, it's ITEC, she would not, well, I didn't say she, but Miss, who's it, Miss Van Rienen, sorry, is not competent to answer that. She may have learnt it at university, but she's not the competent person. Can I make that very clear? Right. Ms. Van Rienen.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Yes, for the context, I'm from ITED, the International Trade and Economic Division within the department. ITEC, yes. International Trade Administration Commission, operates independently. On the WTO, firstly, the exceeding the bound rate. It might be said that when the world price is low, we're not exceeding the bound rate, or we're not anywhere near that. But when the world price is higher, we will be exceeding it. But when the world price is higher, that's not the problem of the industry. The problem of the industry happens when it's lower. Let me now talk about the issue of dumping. Yes, of course, dumping is prohibited. But the intention is that should be addressed through trade remedies. And in this particular instance, it would typically be an anti-dumping duty. That also is a process that is an investigation that is done by ITEC, and it also happens through an application. Of course, it gets investigated very thoroughly. There's got to be proof that there is dumping, firstly, and secondly, the causality has to be proven. So yes, that if there is a good sense that there is dumping, that might warrant such an application to ITEC to investigate.
Thank you very much. I'm just looking at members and also just pointing out I certainly would like to discuss something with the whip of the committee. So what I'm going to suggest is that we don't simply all pour out of this venue, but a couple of us may want to go out and get some tea, which is ready. And it is now 20 past. I see there's no clock here. It is 20. I will come back. It's 20 past on my watch. I would like to start again at 12:30. Yes, Honourable Buyani Amantash, Honourable Buyani.
Chair, thanks. Can we agree in this House that currently we don't talk of dumping? Because there's still an investigation to be released, maybe the fundings in terms of the dumping and so forth. But because talking of dumping currently, even the ITEC, the DTI, they're still going to investigate whether there's dumping or not dumping. It will be wrong for us sitting in this House and talking of there are companies that are dumping here without investigation properly. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, I want to know who has to ensure that there's dumping or not dumping in our country. If ITED is, that is not their duty, whose duty is it? Because the industry believes, and we also, experience these products. Who has to do this before they can know that there's dumping?
Well, any minister can, and anyone can raise this officially, but it goes to ITEC. And we've known this because we have succeeded in some areas in this case. And that is exactly the answer you would get here. But I must point out to the committee, I think it was earlier this year that I reported to you, and it was proven that shiploads of duty-free sugar arrived in this country. Now, if you don't want to call that dumping, what are you calling it? Now, I'd like to know.
What is that?
It's not dumping. Duty-free sugar in this country. Because you know that we raised this issue with finance and SARS to report how did this come about. And to this day, we do not have an official response. So I think it is a very serious issue. And in the past and previous years, we've had sugar, and I'm using this word, dumped from Brazil. Yes. And if anyone wants to dispute that, go ahead. But that's a reality. And I will not shift from that comment because it is the reality. It is very factual. Our problem may be that we don't have enough monitoring of this issue. And we somehow allow it to slip through our shores. And then you have to say, well, they were smarter than us. I don't know what you should say, but under my watch, I will not allow another shipload of duty-free sugar in this country. No. No, wait a minute. Wait. I don't need any, this fisticuffs. Yes, Honourable Mantosh.
The reason why I raised my question, Chair, was only because these entities, your ITED and the rest, are supposed to be on strong on SARS to monitor our borders. And they can't come and cry foul here. We stay into these chambers, we don't go out there. But they are there to talk to each other before business cries. Yes, Chair, our time must not be wasted. Someone must do what is employed to do.
I do like that phrase, and I have seen your hand, Honourable MacPherson, that there is a need. Some of us talk about the technical word, things should be in alignment. Then we talk about the colloquial word, let us work together. It's pointless me saying this is not my mandate. I'm not SARS. It's pointless us all doing that. So in one sense or another, every one of us in this country needs to be able to recognize when something wrong is being done and to engage our colleagues and to say, you know, are you aware of X? Not to say, well, it's not mine, not my mandate. So I think that is the message we take from you, Honorable Montash. Honorable MacPherson, as you say, the last comment before tea.
Yeah, unless you're planning to stand at Durban Port in a reflective jacket and check every sort of ship and come in, you know, I commend your fighting spirit to do so. But the truth of the matter is that when we had SARS in the Old Assembly, in the Good Hope Centre,
right. There
was much hand-wringing, blame-shifting, you know, computer systems, this, and no one actually was prepared to take responsibility, and it was just a, and I don't actually recall them ever saying, well, it can't happen again. It's actually not IT's responsibility, it's SARS's responsibility. And SARS, unfortunately, gets away with, without actually having to account for these sorts of things. So, you know, I still think that we need to ask them for a detailed written explanation and a guarantee that it won't happen again.
Well, the unfortunate thing in our real world is there are no guarantees in life. But what we can say is we expect you to do your duty. I think that's it. Members, all the members of the sugar industry, the stakeholders, including SAFTA, can see that we are really quite passionate about this, in fact. And we're now going to get to the crux of the issue, because in many ways, some SASA members, some of them may think we have not done our job effectively to get the tariffs, etc. We believe we've done the best we can in the current environment, and I hasten to put it that way. However, we want to know if you've done, after tea, the best you can in the current environment. And I hope I've made myself clear. We had to listen. We want this to work. So, a mini tea break. Thank you. My word, that took a long time. It's 25 past. Let's get back here 25 to 4. 10 minutes.
It's tea for members only. He's in a rush. There's not very much
in the okay. You haven't. I hate nobody.
Well done.
Yeah, Hans.
Thank you.